Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Genesis, chapter 41 and verse 55. The book of Genesis, chapter 41 and verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. The book of Genesis, chapter 41 and verse 55. When all the land of Egypt was famished, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. There's no doubt, beloved friends, that the Lord used Pharaoh as his messenger to speak to all the Egyptians. It's a wonderful thing to be the messenger of God, but we can only be the messenger of God if God gives us the message to deliver to the Lord's people. We read concerning Haggai that he was the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And how wonderfully with that dear man the Lord promised the people that he would be with them. Well, may this be the Lord's message to each of us today. Now this morning we looked a little at the first part, Go unto Joseph. That was a very clear command given by God through Pharaoh to the Egyptians. And may it be a message to your soul and mine as we think of the untrodden steps of the future. It'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, to be continually found going unto the heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus. But then he didn't leave it there. He says, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. This was not only a message from Pharaoh to the people, but it was, as I have said, the message of God to them, and it was personal unto you. And may it please the Lord to speak that to some poor soul or to us each this afternoon. Unto you. And that is why one reason we read together in John's Gospel that sacred chapter where the Lord was pleased to speak to Simon Peter. The Lord, you see, had something for dear Peter to do. And he spoke to him concerning feeding God's sheep and feeding the lambs. And he didn't just say that once, did he? Three times the Lord spoke it. So Peter knew what he had got to do, but we find, and may we lay it to heart this afternoon, what Peter felt. He felt his inability and his poverty, and he immediately, when the Lord said to him, "Follow me." It's a wonderful word, you know. "Whatsoever he saith unto you," the dear mother of Christ said in the marriage in Cana of Galilee, "whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And we find here the Lord saying to Peter, "Follow me." Now look in your poor heart and mine. Are we real followers of the Lord Jesus? Has he said to us, "Follow me"? He said it to each of his dear disciples and to many others. But you see, Peter immediately, and Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which had also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith, "Lord," to the Lord Jesus, "and what shall this man do?" You know, it's so easy for us to look at others and say, well, what shall this man do, Lord? Think of what our text says, "whatsoever he saith unto you," what he saith to you, do. What he saith to you, do. And yet you're looking at this one and that one. I can well understand it, because I remember when the Lord constrained me to follow him in his sacred ordinances, I said to the Lord, "Lord, but there's this one's got much more grace than me, and that one's got more grace than me, and yet thou hast laid it in my heart." And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" He's the one saying that this afternoon. But oh, what did Jesus speak to him? Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." What he saith to you, do it. This was the message. And I want us help to name a few characters this afternoon that the Lord wonderfully enabled them to go to the heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus, and what he told them to do. Not only in the New Testament, but in the Old too. But let us tarry with dear Peter. Because dear Peter was to be used so much, wasn't he, by the Lord. Think of the text, "Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do." It's a simple word. Oh, that we might be doers of the word and not hearers only. But oh, we think of dear Peter on the housetop in Joppa. There he was, and in that housetop he fell into a trance. And in that housetop the Lord showed him that sheet knit at the four corners, and in it were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again, the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And then we find dear Peter, and this word was so real. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And the point is this, how the Lord spoke to him, "Behold, three men seek thee." And what did the Lord say to him? And give him that grace to go down to that Gentile house. It was a very clear word, it's a beautiful word, really. And it was this, "Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." You know, that was a clear word what Peter had got to do. And you think of it in your heart this afternoon. There's no doubt in the heart of Peter. There was much doubting. How could he go to this court, this house that was a Gentile house? But the Lord made it so clear to him what he got to do. You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord makes it clear to us what we got to do, isn't it? So often we're venturing along in the dark. We know not what to do. We're often like Jehoshaphat when he said, "Neither know we what to do." And it may be there's one this afternoon. He says this, "Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." You see how wonderfully the Lord was preparing Peter to go into something that, naturally speaking, he didn't want to do. And yet, you look how the Lord was to wonderfully make him willing. And he had to view that sheet knit in those four corners to see, and the Lord to manifest to him, this is what he got to do. "What God hath cleansed, that call thou not common." And then, of course, in Cornelius's house, he was wonderfully enabled to preach unto them Jesus, just as he did on the day of Pentecost. And what does our text say? Go unto Joseph. And this is just what Peter had to do. Go to the heavenly Joseph. "Lord, what is thy will? What have I got to do?" And you know, there are situations we come into in providence, in our souls, and you young ones in your pathways at college, at school, may this be a word, a clear word. Go unto Joseph, and what he saith to you, do. The message is clear. But then there's another case I just want to name in the Old Testament before we go any further. You think of the great exercise there was in dear Ruth, who had come with Naomi out of Moab, and all the exercise of soul that that dear woman was in. And look how the Lord commanded her to go into the field of Boaz, first of all, to glean there. And oh, may the Lord yet command many in this solemn dark day to come within the hills of Zion and to be real gleaners. He brought her out of much of the idols of Moab, the ungodliness there was there, and drew her to his people. And he commands her to go and glean in the field of Boaz. And oh, what a time of gleaning it was, wasn't it? Ye glean, as the hymn writer said, one and all. But then she was brought wonderfully by the Lord into the threshing floor and to lie at the feet of Boaz. And then, as he speaks to her, and you see the Boaz there again was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And what the word that's really upon one's spirit is this. He was so concerned as she leaves him. And what to do in all things. And what does Naomi say to her? A beautiful word. You see, what he saith to you, do. And there are times where the Lord will tell us to do like he did Ruth. Naomi was the messenger. The message was from God. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou dost know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. You know, when the Lord tells you to sit still, then you do it. You see, if you look back, if I may just step back a moment to the case of the children of Israel at the Red Sea, there were two clear commands what to do at that Red Sea by the Lord. The first was they got to stand still. That was the first command. And there was a reason for that. They got to stand still, and the same applied with Ruth. She had got to sit still. They got to do what the Lord said, and there was a reason for it. They got to stand still at the Red Sea to see the Lord work. He says, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. And they got to stand still until they saw it. Now, with dear Ruth, she got to sit still until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. You see, there are times where the Lord will tell you to stand still or to sit still. Why? Because you've got to watch the Lord work and watch for him to make a way like he did at the Red Sea. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord tells us to sit still or to be still. Like we read in Psalm 46, don't we? That wonderful word, be still and know that I am God. But the child of God does not always have to be still or to sit still. Oh no. You know, underneath this with Rhea Ruth, she could not be still. She had to be still to see the Lord work, is true. But in her soul and in her exercise, she was not still. She could give the Lord no rest until he appeared. And the same applied in the case of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. And I hope I can look back a few, and some of you can, where you've been given grace to do what the Lord told you, to be still, and yet deep in your soul and in your exercises, there's this great concern, this taking it to the Lord, begging for him to appear. But be still. Watch the Lord work, you see. Watch him unfold his purposes. We sing, don't we? It's a wonderful word, really. His purposes will ripen fast, unfold in every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. But just going back to the Red Sea and the children of Israel, you know, the Lord gave another clear word. What he saith to you, do. And what was that? The Lord said to Moses, say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. They go forward. You know, many shelter under the word be still or sit still or stand still. But they forget what the Lord said afterwards. You see, with the children of Israel, they hadn't always got to be still, and nor is the child of God. He said to Moses, say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. It was a clear command. They had got to venture on, hadn't they? They got to go in the way the Lord was commanding them. What do we sing in the hymn? It's a good desire. Make me to walk in thy commands, for 'tis a delightful road. Nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. So the message here was, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. Oh, to do what he commands us. Some years ago, the Lord told me to sit still. And you know, I've never forgot it. And the Lord gave me at that time grace to do it, to watch his hand and to watch him work. You know, it may be in a matter in providence, it may be in something you're praying for from the Lord, it may be in a matter that concerns you this afternoon, but you see, you won't always be in it. The day came, and I didn't have to sit still long before the Lord appeared. But the Lord's a sovereign, 'tis true. And oh, that we might do what he commands. But let us go further. We think too of dear Jeremiah. It's a very sweet and sacred chapter that is in that first chapter in Jeremiah, where the Lord was to wonderfully speak to Jeremiah. You know, the Lord does speak to his dear children. He said, "Did he not, my sheep, hear my voice? And I know them, and they follow me." And let me just remind you of the case of dear Jeremiah. The Lord was raising him up in his day and generation. You know, if you look in each of the prophets and each of those precious souls throughout the Word of God, the Lord raised them up in their day and generation. If you look back through the catalogue of the old pastors, the Lord raised them for their day and generation. He commanded them to do their work under his direction. They all had a work to do, just as Joseph did down in Egypt, as the Pharaoh, in charge of all these storehouses. He had a work to do. It's a wonderful thing, you know, for if the Lord gives us a work to do. And the message was clear from Pharaoh, "Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do." But what I want to come to is this. The Lord raised up Jeremiah in his day and generation. He got a work for him to do. And we read this. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." And remember, the children of God in his day were carried away of Jerusalem captivity in the fifth month. They were in captivity, God's people. And the Lord raised up Jeremiah. And the Lord said to him this, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak." Is the one here that says that today? Maybe those of you exercise concerning the sacred ordinances the Lord has. "Oh, but I cannot speak. It's like Moses that I named this morning. I'm slow of speech." You know, each of us look at our own weakness, don't we? I remember when the Lord first laid the exercise, the ministry on me, I said, "Lord, I cannot begin." You know, some of you had known me in those years of my early days, they would have never said naturally that I'd ever preach, because I was so timid and could not face people, and it was an impossibility. And you know, I said to the Lord this, and the Lord said to me, "Who made man's mouth?" And you know, it so searched me. And I know exactly how Jeremiah felt. I am a child, and that's just how I felt. And some of you, dear women and exercised souls, you say, "Well, I'm just a child." But oh, to be a child of God, and all to be able, like a little child, beginning to speak. It's wonderful, you know, those first few words, and the child begins to speak. And here he says, "For I am a child." But the Lord reproved him. He said, "But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send them." This was a clear command for Jeremiah, like our text says, what he saith to you, do. "For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." You know, the message was clear to dear Jeremiah, and may it be clear to us this afternoon. And then the Lord said this to him, and oh, may the Lord whisper this to your poor heart. "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Now pause a moment, child of God. Are there those of you that are afraid? You're afraid to speak of what the Lord's done. You're afraid to venture because of feeling I'm just a child. You're afraid to venture because the sins that trouble you seem to hold you back. You're afraid lest you should presume. And I could list a whole catalogue of things. Jeremiah knew what it was to be afraid. And many of God's dear children know that. I'm afraid. You think of Jairus when he heard the message that his daughter lay dead. What did Jesus say? And may he whisper it to you and me this afternoon. Be not afraid. Only believe. And she shall be made whole. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. You know, I so often say, when one comes forward to join the church, not only here, but over the years in many places, you are not here before judges. We are all poor sinners. "For I am with thee," the Lord said, "to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And then we find this. "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth." Oh, do we not need that continually? You think about prayer. How we need the Lord to touch our mouth that we might ask for those things that are in accordance with his holy mind and will we should ask for. Think of dear Isaiah. Oh, may the Lord put that live coal from off the heavenly altar like he did upon dear Isaiah. And look how the Lord used him to speak. And here with Jeremiah, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Oh, think of it. This is what we need. My words, the Lord's words, what he has given you in your mouth to speak. And that doesn't just apply to the servants of God, that applies to every one of God's people. Oh, to speak well of what he has done for us. Say I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build up and to plant. This is what the Lord was going to do. But think of this word of our text, what he saith to you, do. What he saith to you, do. And then just briefly, we think too of going back to the Acts of the Apostles of dear Philip. You remember that Philip was preaching in Samaria and the Lord wonderfully used his ministry there. But the Lord spoke to Philip and he said to him this, arise, go unto the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. And you know, many servants of God have felt when the Lord has spoken such a word as that, why should we go into a desert? Because there you look in a desert, it's barren, there's hardly any growth. How could it ever be that the Lord should send a man into a desert? But this is what the Lord commanded him. And what did Philip do? He had to obey what the Lord commands. You know, if the Lord speaks to us a word and we are disobedient to it, he will reprove us for it. He'll correct us. He'll chasten us for it. I've seen this solemnly. And there have been times where I've experienced it. And it's painful. It's like a dear mother or father with the child. They will ask them to do this, and if they don't do it, then they reprove them in different ways, don't they? Or should do. And the Lord does that with his children. But looking back at Philip, the Lord enabled him to do. He said, arise and go unto the south unto Gaza, which is desert. And Philip arose and went. He was obedient to the command. Just as these had to be obedient to the command in Egypt. But then, when he gets to the desert, there was the eunuch in his chariot reading in the prophecy of Isaiah. That beautiful sacred chapter concerning the sufferings of Christ. And immediately we see the Lord speaking to him again. And what did he say to Philip? Go near, join thyself to this chariot. What he saith to you, do. And there we see the willingness of Philip, and he goes near and joins himself to the chariot. And you look at the blessing that flowed from it. The Lord was in it all. Oh, he was. And how he began at the same scripture and preached to that dear man, Jesus. And then we read as they journeyed, they came to a certain water. Look how the Lord had wonderfully provided it there in that desert. A certain water. It's a lovely word, isn't it? A certain water, which God had provided in the desert. And you know the Lord provides certain waters in the desert of this wilderness we wander through. And his dear people, they came to a certain water. And what did the eunuch say? See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? You know, there are many hindrances the child of God has. But what had the Lord done with the eunuch? He had swept away all the hindrances. What he saith to you, do. And it's a wonderful thing when the Lord removes all the hindrances. Oh, it is. I often go back in my thoughts to when the Lord constrained me back in 1963. And I've told you many times before, but I shall never forget as I went down to the stream to get this cow in that would not come in for milking. And I looked in that water and the Lord spoke to me audibly from heaven. See, here is water. What doth hinder thee to be baptized? And you know, I said, Lord, but there's all these hindrances. There's all my sin. There's speaking to the church. There's the public prayer. And I reeled off all these things before the Lord. And you know, I looked for them and they were all gone. The Lord had removed them all. It's a wonderful thing when he removes all that hinders the child of God. Go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 24, Abraham's servant in the house of Laban and Bethuel. And what did the servant say when they wanted to keep Rebekah 10 days? The servant said this, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. And oh, the Lord removed all the hindrances, you know. And when they put that word to Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? And you see, that servant again was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. Wilt thou go with this man? And what did she say? I will go. The Egyptians here were to be made willing to do what Joseph commanded them. What he saith to you, do it. Look how Rebekah was made willing. Thy people, we read in Psalm 110, shall be willing in the day of thy power. Look at the eunuch, how the Lord made him willing. Go back to him and then I must leave him. He said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And what did Philip say to him? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And what did he say from a very soft heart? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And oh, how they both went down into the water. Go back to Cornelius's house. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? Go unto Joseph. Oh, if nothing today, may this text be fastened by the Lord into each of our hearts. Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, Now the Lord knows in each of our hearts this afternoon what he said to us. What he saith unto you, do it. Amen.